In our first reading this evening, it seems as if it's possible for us to... Did I turn this on too? Nope. It just got louder though, didn't it? Did it just get louder? It seems it's possible to bargain with God. Judging from what Abraham does and the conversation he and God have, it seems that God's idea of why to be somewhat, reluctant in his bringing forth his wrath is based on Abraham's recognition of the innocent within Sodom and Gomorrah. Whenever we hear in the Old Testament an exchange in which it seems somehow that God is the one who's changing his mind, which happens now and then in the Old Testament, but whenever that happens, it's actually the Lord, it's actually God teaching the other person something. It's actually God training their heart so that they think as God thinks. So when Abraham says, Lord, you're going to destroy this city, what about the innocent? That's the question God was leading Abraham to ask. It wasn't that God needed his mind changed. He wanted Abraham to come to a realization of how God thinks. In the Old Testament, and certainly with Abraham, that can only go so far. Because Abraham's still always going to think in terms of righteous and innocent, and the unrighteous and guilty. So he says, what if there's only 40 innocent? What if there's 30 innocent? What if there's only 10 innocent people? Will you spare all the others for the sake of the 10? And the Lord says, yes. So in Abraham's mind, and still in our mind today, to a certain extent, we think God's forbearance, God's withholding his wrath, is based on our goodness. That the bad things don't happen to us because we're good. And if it was just, that's how it would work. Bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people. And that's how it should stack up. And that's how Abraham's thinking. But that's all he could comprehend. He couldn't get outside of that box. What we know from the New Testament, though, is that's not how God looks at it. God desires, God wills that all be saved. So God's forbearance, God's mercy, God's patience is for the unrighteous. Is for the guilty. We see that in the New Testament. So there's a switch there. Whereas Abraham's thinking it's on account of the righteous that the guilty are spared. In the New Testament, we come to find out certainly that it's on account of God's love and mercy for each person. That the guilty, the unrighteous, the sinner is given time to come to repentance. We also find out in the New Testament, of course, from Paul, that none are innocent. None are righteous on their own. All are in need of God's mercy. So whereas we might put ourselves in that first reading among the 10 or among the 20, we should not. We should simply reflect on the fact that wherever we're at in our life, the time that we've been given and the time we will have in front of us, God looks at time always as a gift and an invitation. A gift to enjoy the relationship that we're in now with the Lord, and an invitation to accept the summons, the call, the invite to a deeper relationship with the Lord. That brings us to our gospel. The gospel begins with Jesus was praying in a certain place, right? And his disciples, like other disciples, say, Lord, teach us to pray, because obviously there's some technique to getting close to God. You seem to have it. You've learned it. Why don't you teach us the same? John's disciples, they were taught by John how to pray like John. So maybe you could teach us to pray in such a way that we could be close to the Lord like you. And I almost think that the Lord teaches them the Our Father almost reluctantly. As if, okay, I'm going to teach you how to pray, but if you say this is the way that you pray, and that's what you concentrate on, you have actually missed the whole notion. He then goes on to teach them the Our Father, which we all know, and this is Luke's version of it. But then he goes on and he explains what actually is supposed to happen interiorly. We're supposed to seek. We're supposed to knock. We're supposed to be persistent. Meaning our heart is supposed to be trained in longing. And Paul expresses this, right? In the Spirit, our spirit longs to be with the Lord with inexpressible groans, he says. What we hear in the Our Father and what we say in our daily prayers that we voice are only supposed to be those things that help us train our hearts, concentrate our being into a state in which we continually long to be closer to the Lord. That's what the Lord is getting at. We knock, we seek, we continually call upon, and we persevere in that longing. At the end of the gospel, Jesus says, "How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And now we know what he was praying for at the beginning of the gospel. If you want to know what we're supposed to pray for, if you want to know what the Lord himself was praying for, it was the Spirit. It was to live in the Spirit, to be one in the Spirit with the Father, to do the Father's will in and through the Spirit. That's our prayer. That's our continual prayer. If we get caught up, and it's all right to pray for the things we need. Jesus even says that. You pray for the things you need. Give us this day our daily bread. It's all right to pray for the people that we know need our prayers, and they are helpful. They're efficacious. It is all right to pray for the dead. It's all right to pray for forgiveness. It's all right and good to pray for all those things that people say, oh, I'll pray for you, and I'll pray for this. And that's all good. But at the end of the day, it's about this. It's about praying to be one in the Spirit with the Father. And then we won't have to actually pray in the way everybody else prays. We'll live it. The life itself, the way we walk in the world, the way we interact in our relationships, all becomes part of the prayer. Prayer is not something we do. It's who we are in the Lord. So as we celebrate this Eucharist today and we receive the body and blood of Christ, let us ask the Lord to desire such that we seek, to be persistent, such that we always are knocking on the door, asking for what we truly need, life in His Spirit.